Thanks, Joel. Thanks, Jan, for those prayers. One thing Jan prayed for is the members' meeting on Wednesday. Prayed for new members. We've got five people wanting to come into membership, so we praise God for that. And it gives me an opportunity to say, if there's anyone else here who would like to be a member of the church, that's how we do it in the Baptist church. So you can be part of the governance of the church, then do speak to me or one of the deacons. We might not get you in by Wednesday, but it'd be great to have a conversation with you about that. The other thing you prayed for is for Mandy running the London Marathon today. She would certainly have started now. I'm guessing she wouldn't have finished yet. I had to smirk when someone arrived this morning and said, "Oh, I didn't expect to see you here this morning. I thought you were running the London Marathon." No, that ain't happening, let me tell you. So since Easter, we've been going through, we're just starting what is a 15-week series, which we've called Resurrection Reality. Looking at some of the things that the resurrection means for us today, what it means for us in our lives. As I said a couple of weeks ago, all those that are going to be speaking during this series have picked their own thing, which they feel is one of the key realities of the resurrection. And what I'm going to look at today, what I'm going to focus on this morning, is simply this. That the reality of the resurrection means that we can be, means that we are, born to a living hope. Let me read verse 3 again. That Claire read and that Jan read too in the prayers. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, I use this passage or some of this passage that Claire read a lot when I'm running funerals. It reminds us of what that living hope brings us, which means that we are when we are no longer on this earth, we nevertheless have a hope of what is to come. And that's, of course, important at a time like a funeral. At those times, I remind folk present that this living hope leads us, as it goes on to say in verse 4, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. I like that idea that when at a funeral you can give that hope to those there who have lost their loved one, that their loved one is now claiming that inheritance that is being spoken about here. But I think this living hope is about much more than just that. And that's what I want to focus on this morning in the context of this series of resurrection reality. And it's interesting, this week as I prepared for this morning, I thought a lot about this word hope. I think it's a word that we probably, even without realizing, use quite a bit. I certainly do, without realizing it. So I began by looking at dictionary definitions of the word hope. Here's a few for you to ponder. Hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or be true. Another one, hope implies little certainty, but suggests confidence or assurance in the possibility that what one desires or longs for will happen. And finally, I like this one. Hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or in the world at large. I guess there's no surprises there, really, if we were asked to explain what the word hope means to us. I'm sure we all understand and would agree with those definitions. And it would be within those contexts that we would ourselves probably use the word hope. That sense of wanting something to happen with some expectation that it might happen. I hope this sermon goes well. There's a chance it might do, but then again, it might not. I hope church members turn up for the meeting on Wednesday. I really do. We have things to vote on. I hope that the cooker in the hall kitchen, which isn't working, gets fixed before the family space on Wednesday this week. I hope these things. And there is a possibility that they will all come to pass. They might happen. I have some expectation that they will. But you know, as I thought about this word hope, do you know, we use it in other contexts, don't we? You've all heard of the phrase hope against hope, which is to hope without any basis for expecting fulfillment, to hope with little reason or justification. I might say one day, I hope it doesn't rain today when looking out on really dark grey skies where there isn't much possibility of it not raining. That's hoping against hope, or it's false hope. I hope Bristol City get promoted into the Premiership next year. That really is hoping against hope. There is little reason or justification for me to hope that. Although I probably got more hope than if I was a Bristol Rovers fan, and I'm really sorry, Neil, for saying that. And then, of course, there is dashed hope, isn't there? A phrase used to describe the feelings of crushing disappointment when one's expectations fail to materialise. When we really don't believe something will happen, will turn out okay. We think it can. We think it can. We believe it can, but it doesn't. Our hopes have been dashed. So I've realised, and I've noted during the week how many times I use the word hope. But this living hope that we read about here in 1 Peter is something much more concrete than any of the hopes that I might speak of, that I may say to people. This living hope spoken of here is a great and glorious hope. It's a certain hope, a positive hope. It is a hope anchored on God's unchangeable promises. That's what this living hope is. And it's a feature of the resurrection reality. It's possible because of the resurrection. And with that in mind, with these ideas of hope, hope against hope, or dashed hope in our minds, let's have a look at this passage in 1 Peter. You know, we don't know for sure that the Apostle Peter wrote this letter, despite the letter beginning with these words, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. In fact, the strong belief more and more these days is it was written by someone else who wanted to write as though they were Peter, but someone who clearly had been close to Peter, but not Peter himself. But whether Peter wrote it or whether it was someone else writing as him, there is no doubt that Peter's involvement with Jesus is important in understanding the living hope mentioned here. Why do I say that? Well, one could believe that Peter felt the death of Jesus more than any of the other disciples. He had boasted that he would never leave Jesus, that he would fight for him even if it meant death. But he failed. We all know how he denied Jesus three times before slinking away as the cock crowed. So as well as the completeness of having hopes dashed that all the disciples had, Peter also had to live with his shame and his disgrace, his denial. But do you know what, folks? Here's the rub. It's these kinds of hopeless situations that the disciples faced, that Peter faced, these kinds of hopeless days that sometimes happen, that the reality of the resurrection of Jesus can help with, can bring relief to, can bring hope to. Remember what we read in Luke 24, when the women who had been and seen the empty tomb, they go back and tell the disciples. The disciples didn't believe the woman, any of these women. But we then read this. Peter, however, in verse 12, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Peter really needed hope, following the hopeless situation he faced a few days earlier. And you can just imagine, can't you, that as he saw this scene, how he felt in that moment in the empty tomb. I expect hope was just beginning to rise up within him as he wondered what had happened. We rightly celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday. But it should never be forgotten that the resurrection is about the presence of Jesus being with us every single day, bringing hope into those seemingly hopeless situations we sometimes face. The resurrection is not a one-day thing for those of us who believe in Jesus, who choose to follow Jesus, who choose to live our lives for Jesus. Something else which I find interesting, which we pick up in Luke 24, verse 34, is that clearly after rising from the dead, Jesus met with Peter, or Simon as he was then. We're told that when the two disciples who had met Jesus on the road to Emmaus then went back and told the others that Jesus was alive, they said this in verse 34, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Somewhere in amongst of these incredible moments, Jesus had obviously met privately with Peter. So we have no record of what was said. But there's a sense that Jesus, knowing how hopeless Peter was feeling, had searched him out, had appeared to him, and had no doubt encouraged him, given him hope again. Peter speaks of this hope as a living hope, something available to all of us all the time. You know, Jesus being alive, which is what we celebrate with the resurrection, Jesus being alive from the dead is the answer to the dashed hopes of your lives and my life. The answer to the pressures we feel day by day. The answer to that sense of failure we often feel in our lives, and I certainly know I do. The answer to the broken dreams that we have. Jesus being alive is what can bring hope into all those situations and many more that we sometimes face. And Jesus and this living hope he offers is always there for us, as it was for the first disciples when they realized and accepted that he had risen. And you can see, as we read the stories of post-resurrected Jesus, you can see the joy and the optimism, the expectation the disciples had, and this renewed hope, this living hope. Life was suddenly so much better. We have the promise of the risen Jesus always being with us every single day of our lives. We have the promise of the living hope that he offers. That is resurrection reality, my friends. You know what? Right now, I need some hope. Right now, the Baptist Union needs some hope. Right now, the world My goodness, does it need some hope? Jesus can provide it. You know, Archbishop Desmond Tutu once said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. The living hope that Jesus offers can bring light. Light despite all of the darkness into whatever situation I might be facing, the Baptist Union might be facing, the world might be facing. That is resurrection reality. We just need to believe it. We just need to believe that Jesus rose from the dead and offers it. And then, what do? We claim it as one of the promises of God. And then, we live it. We live it out in our lives. We live as people who know that we have this living hope. God, do whatever you want with me. This living hope is just one of the many important, amazing realities of the resurrection. Not only should we believe it, not only should we claim it, but we need to live as though we've believed it and we've claimed it. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus, that he wasn't kept dead, that he rose from the dead and is alive with you now. And Lord, we thank you that because of that, we have this living hope spoken of here. A hope, despite whatever our situation is that we might be facing right now. And Lord, we claim it. We claim it this morning. And Father, help us to be people who live as though we do have that hope. Lord, I mentioned the joy and the optimism and the expectation of the disciples when they realized about this living hope. And they realized that Jesus had risen. Lord, may we have that in our lives too today. For we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to invite Joel and the rest of the band, Neil.